The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
And joining me on the podcast right now, weekly edition, John Heumann is the main man of content at Vox, of course, previous editor of Investors Chronicle. John, the markets this week, not looking a lot better. In fact, I looked at the indices yesterday. Every time they hit a low, I tend to sort of map them out from a spreadsheet. And I noticed that hitting new lows yesterday on the 4th, FTSE 250, AIM 50, AIM 100, AIM All Share. The AIM 100 is now down 36.7%, 10 months from its high on the 6th of the 9th in 2021.
So that's it's pretty horrible out there, pretty horrible.
Yeah, and generally, you know, if you look at a sort of base case, around about 12 months bear markets last on certain indices. So 10 months in, they're not far off. I'm thinking, I don't know, another few months, maybe October, when we get some more inflation figures out and showing it's maybe a peak, because I'm looking at lots of like commodity prices on the charts here. And they are starting to roll over. I mean, things like wheat, for example, and hit a high, I don't know what this metric is, but hit a high of 1,300. Now it's under 846. Also, corn was above 820. It's now down to 619 or 620. You got the thing that's sticky. I mean, natural gas has come off as well. That was 9.5, and that's on a 5.7. The only thing that's not rolling over, the most important thing, really, but it has a little bit, but it hasn't had big falls, is Brent. And of course, that hit sort of 125. It's now down at 112. So it has come off. It hasn't gone up, which is the main thing. And I think that's the key to the inflation figures. As long as you don't see them increasing, if they stay where they are or nudge down a little, I think that'll give the market a little bit of support, you know.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, there was a bit of a reaction last week on expectations that inflation might plateau or slightly moderate, but now you're replacing that with the risk of recession.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, if you see commodity prices weakening, it's generally an indication that demand is weakening.
Yeah.
Fears of inflation will potentially be replaced by fears of recession. And obviously the implication of that is that you start to see earnings take a hit.
It's pretty
nasty. It's one of the nastiest markets I've seen. And I've seen a few horrors.
But do you know what I think?
A long time.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm thinking? In fact, you mentioned me. I actually tweeted this today, saying, you know, Dr. Copper, the predictor of the global economy's health, that's fallen out of bed literally. 3.5, I think it's pounds, dollars per pound there. But that is now down. It literally fallen off a cliff. I'm talking about back on the 1st of June. It was 4.5. Now it's 3.5. That's at the levels not seen since December 2020 and through to February 2021. So it's back to over 2 year levels, you know. So that's coming off, and let's say that is the predictor, isn't it, of global growth? And that's what we need. But you realise, you know, the markets sort of tend to look forward, and like I said, with AIM, it fell first. It started coming off first. If you look at the indices, it started rolling over. The high of AIM was like late August. Early September. Now, the rest of them sort of started doing that a few months later. And so when you realise that AIM is down 36% and we are going into a slower economy, of course, liquidity is key here, because smaller cap companies, you know, they're so illiquid. A little bit of stock comes out, a little bit of selling goes on, and the reaction is, you know, exaggerated. And of course, they rise to the upside. A little bit of liquidity comes in on the positive side, buying, and they go up. So, yeah, how much of this is priced in already with an AIM? Because it's fallen off a cliff. It's almost 40%, you know?
Indeed. And I actually crunched some numbers. So we're going to look at, actually for today's screen, companies that are essentially in bear market territory have fallen more than 20% from their highs, mm-hmm. Which you would call catching a falling knife. But I had a look, of the well, several thousand shares listed on the London market. 1,385 of them are in bear market territory, down 20% from their one-year high.
Yeah.
488 are down 50% or more, and 20 are down 90% or more. So, you know, there's, it's pretty savage. You know, there's been some really, really hefty drawdowns. But yeah, I mean, as I say, my concern is that you know, we're catching up. Investors are waking up to quite what a perilous situation. Yeah, the economy's in, and earnings are the worry. And you know, we've seen some evidence of that today. So before we come onto the screen, actually the company that came out top of the screen, as in a big faller, but with some characteristics that I like, and I'll talk to you those in a minute, but was a company called Supreme. And so, yeah, you know, it's popped out as being, you know, heavily sold, but with earnings growth forecast and you know, relatively solid financial position. But today it's come out and said, basically, its customers have overstocked, you know, the just-in-case versus just-in-time approach that many companies adopted during the sort of later stages of the pandemic, and that's going to hit earnings this year. So you know, be very careful with earnings forecasts. Is what I'm saying right now.
That's it. You know, when you look at, because when I look at the first top, let's have a look at that. Because if you look at the first few top lines of their update today or their results, it seems okay. But you keep reading and you realize, oh, hang on a sec. And the key in this market, isn't it? When you're reading about any company, always look at the outlook. Always. Because I said, you know, the growth there is, they're growing top line, their gross profit is up there, profit before tax up 25%. To 16.3, but then this looks okay, and you realise it's fallen off 30%. What's going on here? So you have to read further down, and then you realise, never has it been, you know, as important to read the outlook. It's always important. When you realise we're going into a slower economy here, then of course companies will take a hit on that. And like I said, in this market, unless you're exceeding on what you've achieved and what you're going to achieve, hopefully, then you'll take a big hit, you know, take a massive haircut. This market is unforgiving, isn't it, you know?
Yeah, savage.
Let's have a look at this. I like this. Normally you come up with a lot of companies, but I mean, we've got 15 here. We've got Supreme, React, Cakebox, UP or Up Global Sourcing, Sanderson Design, how do you say that?
Alumask.
Yeah, Port Marion, K3 Capital, Character Group, Record, Springfield Properties, Griffin Mining, Castings, and SureServe Group. So who's going first this week? Is it me or you?
Yeah, I'll just talk through the criteria.
Go on,
first,
go for it.
So basically, I'm calling this one the falling knives stock screen. Yeah. So basically, you know, the general rule of investing is, you know, when shares are falling, when they've lost momentum, you know, don't catch a falling knife for the obvious reasons that you might cut yourself very badly. But, you know, as you say, this is a market in which, you know, there was sort of indiscriminate selling in parts. So it's quite possible that you know, several babies have been thrown out with the bathwater. So I've looked at companies that have fallen quite a long way, but then tried to find some measure of quality in them. So looking for cheapness, so, you know, forecast PE between 5 and 15. Don't want any lower than that because, you know, you pretend you've got something of that's an indicator that there might be trouble there.
Yeah.
Looking for you know, EPS growth last year and forecast, turnover growth forecast, debt to market cap less than 25 times. Just make sure there is, you know, financial stability here, because I think in this market, if you run out of cash, you're in trouble. But I've kept the size small, so we're less than 250 market cap. With this lot, 250 million, and I want companies that are turning their profits into cash as well.
Cash is king at the moment. Okay.
Well, that's the falling knife stock screen.
And it's interesting to see these. I mean, you're looking at the charts, they're all pretty much similar on the charts. But I knew a few of these. We've covered Kickbox before, and, you know, I think there's a good market for Kickbox. Like I said, most of their stuff is basically events or birthdays. That'll always happen, I think. So they've always got a market. I don't think their market will soften, but we've covered those before. I quite like those. But in the end, not a company I've heard of before, I've not really looked into it. I went for K3 Capital Group. And so they are 185 million market cap. In fact, they just come up with a trading update. We'll get to that in a bit. But I mean, let me just type it in because I'm looking at Supreme here. Yeah. So they did a pre-closed trading update on the 21st of June. And it's in good. They're saying, you know, revenue increased by 43% to 67 million, the 185 million market cap. Adjusted EBITDA expected to increase by 24% to 19.5. All three business divisions. Now, what they do is they're a multidisciplinary and complementary group, providing specialist advisory services to SMEs, incorporating business and company sales, restructuring, and insolvency. So I thought, oh, hang on a sec. That's something. Is this, you know, you've covered. What did you cover a week before? Begbies, wasn't it?
Begbies, that's right.
And you can imagine there's going to be more companies in trouble going forward in the next year or so. So they also do tax advisory services. So yeah, all three parts of the business reported very strong performances. They're sort of ahead of market expectations, significantly ahead of prior year. And I just went back and punched in the figures from the full year and last year, and look at the metrics here. So I mean, going back for the full year, this is to 31st of May 2021, the revenue grew by 215% to 14.5. They're very acquisitive. They do raise a bit of money, but from 15 million pretty much to 47 million. They're on about 4x sales there. But in the half year, which is a bit more up to date, they still improved revenue by 73% growth there from 18 to 31 million, and it's gone down to 3x sales. So, and the metrics. So, you know, the margins are good. I mean, I look at the operating margin, 17, EBITDA is 30, pre-tax margins, what, 17? So all good. I was looking at the broker note, and they say they got a broker target. This is Canaccord. I said they got a broker target of 414 on this, and currently they are at 252, and they base that on, should be on 20x. Was it end of 2022 calendar year PE multiple 20? So decent upside. Like you say, it's look at the chart, they've come off, but you know, plenty of cash growing. They are very acquisitive and they raise money a little bit, but nevertheless, the margins are good, the growth is there. And like I said, with that business, I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I'm sure, companies looking to sort of save money on tax or in trouble, so they're restructuring and insolvency. So I think it's, you know, of all the ones I looked at, I did look through a few of them and thought, you know, what's going to be hit here in a downturn? And I thought, you know, there's a lot of companies in luxury goods and all that stuff, or design. I thought, that's can take a hit. There's properties. So I just went with this company. Do you know much about them, K3 Capital?
Not a great deal, but I mean, I do know the sector. I've been looking at it, as you mentioned, quite a bit recently. I've been looking specifically at Begbies, but you've got another one out there, FRP Advisory, yeah. Which is much the same sort of space. And, you know, I think, you know, right now this is a good little sector, little subsector to be in. I mean, I was reading Begbies, I think I've mentioned this before, they do this red flag research looking at kind of indicators of distress in the corporate sector, and one of the things they look at is county court judgments on companies, and that rose 157% in the first quarter of this year. It's seen as a leading indicator of future insolvency, so I think there's a lot of corporate pain to come, which we're not really seeing in the figures just yet, but we are seeing indicators of it from these sort of companies. Makes a lot of sense to me.
I mean, India didn't like it, so they've done a lot of organic growth, but they acquired quite a few companies. So like I said, if you look at their revenue top line, just 2020 is 15 million, 2021 47 million, and this year they're expected to do 61 million. That then slows down a little bit. So you've gone from 215% growth to 31% expected this year. But it's they're coming down about 11 or you know, still double digits, but not high double digits. So they're not going to keep sort of, growing this at this rate. But I just thought there's a bit of resilience in the business model there compared to sort of, you know, other companies that may have people tightening their belts and may affect them. So, that's what I'm... And just looking at the chart there, they did sort of... If you look back at this time last year, they were like 375, and then... In May this year, they hit 220, and they bounced massively on the... I think it must have been the trading update, maybe? But they bounced from that £3. They came back, then tested 226, which is a higher low, pretty much. And now, hopefully, they'll flatten out around there because they've had a nice bounce. But, it's a higher low, and so maybe they found their support, as long as they keep churning out decent figures. The growth isn't huge going forward, but the margins are very good. And like I said, hopefully, parts of the businesses... are resilient, so maybe it'll flatline for a while, but healthy business, decent cash level, and growing nicely, you know.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, in respect of like future forecasts as well, I think there's a really useful thing that investors can look at. And so, yeah, you know, the forecast may be somewhat conservative. Forecast growth may often be conservative, not just for K3, but lots of companies. And what's a really good indicator of forward strength is an upgrade cycle. Mm. So where you're actually seeing those numbers being, those estimations being raised by brokers.
Yeah.
And there's various places you can look at that. I use SharePad, but an upgrade, you know, conservative forecasts themselves are not bad if you're seeing an upgrade cycle. And I think in the case of K3, that's probably what we're likely to see.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it's good to note. Marvellous stuff. Okay, what have you gone for, John?
I mean, I actually struggled with this list. I mean, this is part of the sort of warning badge that you should always post on the stock screen, because it can pump out results based on the numbers that are in the market at the moment. But you've really got to go out and do a lot of research. And as you say, you know, I looked at it, and there's, you know, Sanderson, which is sort of luxury wallpaper, and Supreme, which then had a, you know, fairly significant profit warning today. Port Marion, which is making, you know, China crockery, that sort of thing. But you know, hospitality is a big customer for that. Consumer spending is very important for a company like that. So yeah, struggled, I have to admit. But in the end, I looked at UP Global Sourcing in a bit more detail.
Yeah. What do they do
now? You know, it's sort of manufacture and retail. So
I had a guy on talk about those once. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's quite interesting. There's a sort of, I kind of think it reminds me a little bit of what's now Frasers Group, Sports Direct, which is a company that I've actually liked for quite a long time, you know, particularly when everybody else hated it. But I like this strategy of sort of buying sort of, you know, fusty old brands that aren't being looked after particularly well, consolidating them and really sort of driving the performance behind them. And that's essentially what UP Global Sourcing does with various, it's more like homewares rather than clothing and sportswear, which is what Frasers does. Yeah. So we've got things like, you know, kitchen appliances, laundry appliances, luggage, all that sort of stuff. You know, if you ever buy anything in the kitchen, you might know brands like Salter or Russell Hobbs, which I think it's a licensee of. But it does that sort of thing, multi-channel, and sort of, you know, tries to get to market in as many ways as it possibly can.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant about the retail sector for obvious reasons that, you know, we're seeing some really horrible figures around consumer confidence, consumer spending coming out. We had some figures today from the automotive sector, which showed, you know, that new car registrations are tanking. Had some figures from Sainsbury's, which shows growth is going backwards in its general merchandising business. We had figures from H&T, the pawnbroker, yesterday, which, as you would also imagine, is booming. A time like this, you know, but it's basically evidence that people aren't really battening down the hatches. So yeah, why on earth would you buy a retailer of kitchen products?
Again, you have to sort of price in. Like I said, but there's the market though, and it's now been selling off for nearly a year. So you're thinking, well, you know, surely it's, you know, and we all know markets overreact, you know, the downside and upside. And so at the point, well, we oversold on a lot of companies because, you know, that's when I was looking through the screen, I just took for granted the figures are all pretty decent there on the screen here. But I thought, okay, what sectors are going to be? It's so hard, isn't it? What sectors are going to be hit the hardest, and how much of that is priced in? It's hard to know, isn't it? You know.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, retail has been hit pretty hard already. But as I say, I do worry about earnings forecasts and, you know, I mean, in UP Global Sourcing's case, there is a bit of headroom in those forecasts. You know, they're expecting 30% EPS growth this year. Supreme was a bit tighter than that. You know, the forecast was like 6.9% growth for 2022. So you know, the fact that it's run into trouble and it's going to go backwards in terms of profits this year isn't massively surprising. But UP Global Sourcing has a bit more headroom to keep growing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a fairly low margin business, as you'd expect. But you know, it's relatively conservatively managed. I mean, you know, debt is very, very manageable. It generates cash. It pays a decent dividend. Maybe now is not the right time to buy, but it's certainly like a watch list stock, I would say. That's the way I'm sort of approaching everything at the moment. It's like, okay, am I ready to buy? Not necessarily. Do I think the market's bottomed? I think there's possibly some pain ahead, but I am compiling a watch list. And I think I'm going to put this on it. I think the interesting thing here is the shift to online retail. And they've got a very, very long way to go to kind of build up that channel. I think it's about 15% of sales online at the moment. And they're targeting 30. So you can imagine there's a lot of efficiencies that's going to come with that.
Yeah. One of the last RNSs on K3 Capital was, Director PDMR shareholding. What's this then? And it says here that, looking through, John Rigby, the chief executive officer, sold 20,000 shares at 245. That's not good, is it? And then he realized it's a donation to a local charitable project through their thing. So, but he still holds 10.34%. So he gave 50 grand to a charity. So, oh, okay. So it's a decent chunk, isn't it, for charity? But I thought, that's fine. Otherwise, he's obviously a nice guy, you know?
Yeah, well, like to see that. It's good. I mean, but as you say, he still holds a big chunk of the company, and you actually want your management to have skin in the game. You want their interests to be aligned to the interests of shareholders. That's a good sign. That's certainly true of UP Global Sourcing as well. Big director ownership, lots of quite significant purchases recently. That's going outside of the screen, just look a bit further round, and they're the kind of things you should be looking for.
Yeah, this podcast, because you have sitting on a nice bit of cash to invest in, it's perfect for you. Just looking, Scott, just put him on the watch list to see how they perform, because this is it in this market. You have plenty of time to research, and that's a good thing about bear market. If you're sitting on cash, you can see lots of. You must be getting an itchy trigger figure by now, John, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, very much so. I'm very much looking forward to going on a shopping spree. But as I say, I'm waiting patiently. I've never really suffered from what are they called? Fear of missing out.
Yeah. So what will see you?
I'm lucky.
Yeah. So when will you pull the trigger? What's the kind of things you want to see that will make you pull the trigger on an investment here?
I want to see the overall market picture become a little bit more stable. Because at the moment, we are seeing. We are seeing the market selling off more than it's more down days than up days.
Yeah.
In fact, and I think there are still lots of semi bullish investors out there, and you've really got to get the last bull to capitulate. So I don't think we've seen that yet. I think we've got some big earnings seasons coming up, certainly large cap here and over in the US. Really wouldn't mind seeing what's coming out of some of the bigger companies. We saw recently, Nike had some horrible news. And you'd imagine that's going to flow through to companies over here, like JD Sports, for example. So I'm keeping a very close eye on earnings forecasts. And if I see signs that they're stabilising, that actually companies aren't going to hit those targets, then I'm in. But because the market looks cheap. It only looks cheap because I don't think we've seen the earnings revisions yet.
Yeah. In fact, I don't know if you saw that just 20 minutes ago. The economic outlook for the UK and the rest of the world has deteriorated materially, the Bank of England has warned. They've just come out with that, saying energy and fuel costs rising rapidly around the world, pushing up prices. So they're very bearish on the economy. So, but that's going to happen. I don't know what I saw an excellent stat about markets, how far the markets generally are ahead of recessions. And I think it was something like it's either 90 to 120 days. But basically, when a recession is officially announced, there's an 82% chance of positive returns in the next 2 years. And that's they generally start to rally, around at the time when they are starting to rally, about 90 days before a recession is announced, So Yeah, I think once we see that key deal saying, yeah, we're in recession, then it's time to be in the market, because we know from then there's a positive return in the next 2 years. 82% chance of one anyway. I think the only thing that changed that was the Great Depression, where it went up and down for a while, maybe the 70s, where it went up and down for a while. And we could have the same, I suppose, because inflation is here. Unless they get that, you know, tackle inflation, there's going to be a problem, isn't it?
What
would be nice is if they announce a recession and then Putin said, we've stopped the war. That together would give the heck of a market rally, I think. It'd be like the... do you remember the vaccination day on the 9th of November back in 2020 when I think it was the Pfizer came out first with we got a vaccination, and the entire market just jumped in one day. It's like, and then it came back, then it went up. I think that's the kind of reaction we'll see if you get a Putin sort of stepping down and saying, no, we've got the area we want, Donbass area, that's it. And something we need some kind of positive momentum, a kickstarter for the market. But at the moment, it doesn't look as in sight anyway. It's going to be a few months at least, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not in a hurry. Like I say, you know, it's the summer as well. It's, you know, it's a quieter period for markets. So, yeah, as not in a hurry. You know, I think, and I wrote something recently on, you know, optimism in the markets. And I think as an investor, you have to be optimistic.
Oh,
you know, you have to think that you know, over the long term, the market will deliver for you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and you know, to go alongside that, people say, well, then you should be invested at all times because you don't want to miss those bounces when they come. You know, I'm kind of, a lot of that's theoretical. You know, you can see, with hindsight, looking at those, you know, those sort of those that data that you can compile. But I'm kind of testing the theory. I'm going to try and time it.
All right, I tell you what, when you are fully invested, or pretty much like I am, this downturn seems to last a lot longer than it, you know, so I suppose it's a lot of emotional stress, you know, when you've got your money invested in the market, just grinding lower and lower and lower. It's wearing. But like I said, when you got cash, when you got cash, you're probably thinking, go on, grind lower.
Yeah. Well, no, because I mean, it is, you know, I don't want to see anyone in pain, you know, suffering the stress of losses. No, for me, it's like waiting for Christmas. I'm like a kid on the 1st of December. Like, you know, how far away Christmas seems then. It seems December seems to go on forever.
Yeah.
I want to buy, but yeah, as I say, I think over the years, I've learned that patience is a virtue in investing.
Yeah. Do you know what? The biggest mistakes I always make pretty much is getting in too early or too much too early, you know? I mean, rather than just scaling in slowly over a period of time and just going with the updates the company's punching out, saying that everything's going to plan, because it's always planning. So the market always goes up and down. I've always gone a bit too big too early, and then it's come back a bit now. Anyway, marvelous stuff. Okay, so we'll put this on the website, the screen's there, all the stocks that fit the screen. And you know, if you want to suggest some kind of screener, we have an idea for a screener, get in contact and we'll run it and we'll talk about it on the podcast. John, thanks very much. Speak to you next weekie.
Thanks, Justin. Speak soon.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.